Stand Christian greetings to each one gathered here this morning. I've been encouraged as we went through this worship hour and the Sunday school hour there. And if we were singing that song there at the offering time, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. And this verse goes there, no turning back. I trust that your testimony that you're not going to turn back and you're going to go on. Luke 9:62 has that verse there, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And so that's what happens if you turn back. You're not fit for the kingdom of God. And that's a serious, serious thought to think about. And then we sing Faith of Our Fathers. We will be true to thee till death. I trust you didn't say that lightly. You didn't sing that lightly. That you're that committed to serving God. Well, I'm not going to give you much of a history of what led me to the verses I have for, or a verse I have for a message this morning, but I will say it's not the verse I started out with. I think the preachers know how that works sometimes. But I hope it's not just a rut that I get in, because I really like this passage where this verse is found, and it's a familiar passage. And so turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, the faith chapter. And I appreciate that song about faith of our fathers because it goes with this chapter very well. But we're going to look at just one verse in here, and we're going to look at one man, and that's verse 7. We know this verse very well. We know the man's life very well, and we're just going to take some time this morning and think about that and hopefully encourage us today in our day we live in. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Turn with me in your Bibles. You can keep back there in Hebrews chapter 11. If you want to, we're going to come back there. But Genesis chapter 6. I think it's only right that when we read about Noah, that we go back and read what was about this man, how he saved his whole house. So Genesis chapter 6, we're going to read this whole passage at this time. Doesn't all maybe pull so much what we want for the message this morning, but it's the account of why this man saved his house. Genesis chapter 6, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit will not always strive with men, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, that they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart were only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and all the creeping thing, and the fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat 3 sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, The end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make in the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth, to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven. And everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of the all flesh, 2 of every sort shalt thou bring into the ark. to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Read verse 1 of chapter 7 as well. I have titled the message, Warned of God. Warned of God. And that's what I want to focus on as I think about Hebrews chapter 11, that verse 7 there. By faith, Noah being warned of God. And I'm thinking about warnings. I thought about bringing some warning signs in here and just ask you what you think about it when you see them. Remember when I was growing up, my dad had a tractor manual from another country, and they did most of their warnings with pictures, and we used to like to look at it sometimes and laugh at the pictures because they had a dramatic way of emphasizing the warnings. What's warnings for? It's to tell you what's possible and the extreme measures that can go to. Well, we are looked here at this man, Noah. He was warned of God. Are we today warned of God? Yes, we are. Maybe not in the same way as Noah, but we want to look at that as we think about it. The first part, as I think about Noah, though, the first part I want to look at is this man, he was a man of faith. He was a man that, well, the first part of chapter 11 explains faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He's looking forward to something else, and that's who Noah was. He was that man that was looking forth in faith, looking into the future. It was part of his daily life. It was his daily life was part of that. And so when we think about this man of faith being warned of God, how could God be the one to warn him? Why is God a perfect one to warn us today? My mind went to the fact that God is all-knowing and all-seeing. He knows today. He knows tomorrow. He knows the future, what you're going to face. He has the answer because he knows all things. And he's warning Noah about future things. Something that's going to happen in the future. The things not seen as yet. How do you get ready for something you've never seen? We do sometimes, we do some of that. We predict that maybe something's going to come, and so we prepare for it to a limited extent. But a flood like this, you can't prepare enough for it in man's own reasoning. Well, it was revealed to him by God. Now, what stands out to me is Noah was a willing man, and he was willing to obey God even when others would see it. When it meant others were going to scoff at him. When it meant others were going to say, what's this foolish man doing building an ark on top of a mountain? Don't you know the waters in the valley? It had never rained. They didn't know about that. Today, maybe this farmers would rather see a little less rain. Okay? This time it never rained yet. So as we ponder that, Noah, a man that was, he was warned of God, and he was warned about future things, and he was just willing to follow whatever God called him to. It was a personal warning to Noah. Personal to Noah. God saw this righteous man, and he talked to Noah, directly to Noah. God did not go about and proclaim to the other people about it and say, make a big statement, and this is God. No, God talked to Noah, and Noah talked to the people. 2 Peter 2, verse 5 says that he preached it to the people. Of the destruction that's coming that God had revealed to Noah. Well, how did God reveal it? I don't know totally. But Noah was a man in Genesis chapter 6 that we read that he walked with God. He had a daily walk with God. He was trusting in God. And he had faith that, and believed that God knows the future and he's going to deal with the future as he says. Now, what else do I see as I ponder this chapter 11, verse 7? He moved. He moved. He did something about it. It was action. Something was going to happen. And Noah was going to do exactly what the Lord told him to. There was action. Galatians 5:16, for us today to think about. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Action. Walk. Isaiah 2:5, O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Walk. It's action. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust. Action. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Today, sometimes, maybe we don't always understand why. Just the same as Noah did. Maybe we don't always understand why, but we make the choice of whether we're going to obey or not. We make the choice of being obedient or not. And most times, well, especially if it's following God, it's the difference between life and death. Our daily choices aren't maybe that cut and dry. But obedience to God and to His Word and to what He asks of you is a life and death matter. And it takes action. You can't sit on a rocking chair and somehow coast through life and not expect to have to do any work about your spiritual life. With fear. Next point is, I think about this, verse 7. Moved with fear. It was a godly fear. If you look it up, it's more means of reverence. And, well, maybe we don't know what reverence means so much. It can be a word, too. I look this up. Reverence is a profound respect and deep admiration for someone or something, often accompanied by awe and great respect. It is characterized by a sense of honor, humility, and devotion, especially in the context of religious or spiritual practice. Reverence can be directed toward a deity, sacred texts, moral principles, or even individuals who embody wisdom or virtue. It is a quality that inspires humility and often leads to actions or attitudes that reflect deference and respect. Just read that as we think about reverence. Moved with reverence, moved with fear. And it brought about something. It was a fear that did not drive him away from God, but instead drove him to God and closer to God. Proverbs 16, verse 6 says, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. That's that reverence again. They come to God, not go away from God. Proverbs 23, verse 17. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all day long. Close to God all day long. Have that reverence. Prepared an ark. Prepared an ark. It was a daily task. It was something that as Noah was probably a busy man already. And God said, build this ark. And he prepared it. It was a daily task. And he sweated at it. And it took effort on his part. It took sacrifice on his part. He prepared for it. Prepared an ark. He did something about it and he prepared it. It was a daily task. Amos 4:12 says this, therefore thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. Another verse that uses that word prepare. Prepared an ark. And so, as we today, we're called to prepare to meet God. we have to work. It's a daily task. Do it every day, every minute of every day. Now let's just look quickly at the ark. Prepared an ark, a safe place. A safe place. A flood was coming. Can I give you a picture? When I read the Bible and I see the word a flood, or think about the flood, well, my Bible says that the fountains of the deep were broken up. The storybook that we had at home was that there were some people on the outside of the ark banging, trying to get in. I don't believe that happened. But my Bible says that the fountains of the deep were broken up. There was a tsunami wave that came across and destroyed people in an instant. Because that's what happens when tsunamis come, is because there's a shifting underneath the ocean floor. And so you think about this. God had provided Noah with a safe place, an ark sitting on top of a mountain. God wanted Noah to build the ark at the top of a mountain, not in a valley, because God, in his all-knowing, knew what was coming. And he wanted a safe place for man, for Noah and his family. Think of all the extra work that went into it. Lug things up a hill. Isn't it easier to roll them down? Yes. Noah obeyed God in the details of where to build it. There was a safe place. There was plenty of saving power. Prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Plenty of saving power. There was room for all and room for whoever wanted to come. Plenty of power. Now I'd like to, as we ponder this, that's just a little bit of springboard to somehow while my thoughts were running. And being warned of God, I want to now, that was Noah, being warned of God of things that were coming. And Noah in faith, a man of faith, stepped out and did follow God's commands and saved his house. Now I'd like to just think about how God warns us today. And I have 7 points under this. How does God warn us today? Is there something that we need to stand up and take notice of? And I haven't put a lot of daily activity in there as far as decisions we make, avoid the way God warns us. But I want to think about how God warns us today and just ponder that. The first one I have, God warns us today through his word. Through his word. John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And I know, yes, we stress this in many, many messages. But read God's word, and that's where we learn truth. And that's where we learn truth to live our lives. And it needs to affect our lives and to change our lives. In God's word, we learn how to live our lives. I thought about the Articles of Faith, the 18 Articles of Faith. Where are they based out of? How do we know that this is what faith consists of, what we need to have? Every one of those Articles of Faith start out, we believe. And so the question I have, do you believe? Do you believe in God's word? That's the foundational, because that's where the Articles of Faith are pulled from, is God's word. And the truth that's in God's word. You can't take the Articles of Faith and read them without realizing, do I believe it or don't I? It's very foundational. It is based on God's word. And that's article number one of the Word of God. That is, the plenary and verbal inspiration of the Bible is the Word of God. that it carries warning for us, that it carries truth about how to live God. Truth that you can bring you fear and hopefully reverential fear that brings you to God, not fear that drives you to try to cover up. Truth does that, brings you closer to God or away from God. Either you're heading for truth or not. God's word brings comfort and it brings warnings. Read the Articles of Faith sometime in the near future. Of the Word of God, Article 2 of the Existence and Nature of God, Article 3 of the Creation, Article 4 of the Fall of Man, Article 5 of Jesus Christ, and Article 6 of Salvation, Article 7 of the Holy Spirit, Article 8 of Assurance, Article 9 of the Church, Article 10 of Separation, Article 11 of Discipline, Article 12 of Ordinances, 13 of Restrictions, 14 of Apostasy, 15 of the Resurrection, 16 of the Coming of Christ, 17 of the Intermediate State, and 18 of the Final State. We believe in them. Do you believe in them? We could highlight on some of those. We're not going to do that this morning, but you think about them and read them. When God warns us of how to live through the Word, are we following it? Are we going on man's wisdom? Godly fear, as it moves man through the Word towards God, it makes us willing to conform to God and to be like God. It's like what took Noah to say, you know what? God asked me to build that ark up there, and I know people are going to scoff and laugh, but I'm going to be true to God. It takes the same commitment today. God warns us through His Word. Yes, of how to live, tells us how to live, and warns us of the future judgment to come. The second point I have, God warns through the brotherhood and the council of loved ones. He warns through parents. He warns through teachers. He warns through fellow laborers. He warns through messages. I hesitated to put that in there, but I did. God warns through that, through the foolishness of preaching. The brotherhood, those people that you love that sit beside you, God warns through them when we are maybe walking on a dangerous path. A brother, sister comes tapping. Where are you in that? Are we willing to listen to it? God warns. Proverbs 15:22, a very familiar verse. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselor, they are established. Proverbs 11:14, again a familiar one. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Yes, we find safety, and as God works through our brothers and sisters, this needs to be balanced, though, with the Word of God. Faithful parents, faithful teachers, faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. I didn't put that in at the first point, first start of it. Let's remember that. God speaks and warns us through that. The third one I have, God warns us through the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby ye know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Try the spirits. People in the brotherhood that are being Spirit-led, God uses them. But try the spirits, because there's some spirits that lead us away from God. Because when you balance Him with Scripture, with the truth of God's Word, you realize that it's not the right spirit. It's possible to have within us a spirit of self. I'll just use that for an illustration. A spirit of self that is in control of your life that you need to try and realize that it's there or not. Or is it a spirit that is committed to serving God and serving the brotherhood? But the Holy Spirit warns us about ways that can lead to ruin. The Holy Spirit does that. As we read Scripture, it really can speak to us through that. Let's go to the fourth one. I'm thinking about the conscience. God warns through the conscience for us today. In that prayer closet, the conscience can work really well. I had to think about in 1 Kings 19, verse 12, Elijah is there. He's searching for God and answers because he has run from those that would do him harm. And there's great things happening there in the mountains there. But it's not till it got to the end in that still small voice that God spoke to him. I believe our conscience is that still small voice in us for us today. God speaks through it. And we can still that voice in our lives. We can void our conscience by just ignoring it and pushing it down. Or we can encourage it by listening to it. Question I have is, our conscience today halting the peace that you can experience in your life? And I know there's consciences today that need some work on it. And if you're finding yourself at that point, find a brother or sisters that you can confide in and help to balance out your conscience. But I don't think that's for the majority of us, that's not how it is. We tend to squash our conscience and to not listen for that still small voice. We have such busy lives that we don't take time for it. And it affects us. The fifth one, obstacle, or the ways God talks to us, being warned of God. And that is through obstacles and circumstances. Bible readers know the account very much of Numbers 22 of Balaam and his donkey that is talked to him as he's in the way. Why did that happen? It's because Balaam wanted his own way. And he wanted to do it his way. And he finally went and pushed it to the point where he went his way. And God used that donkey to talk to him. It was an obstacle that was in the way of him going where he wanted to go. Today, we can have obstacles in our life, but an agenda just like Balaam that we want to go this way. And we will push through to our own destruction and our own hurt. When we find obstacles or circumstances in our life that stand in the way, are we willing to back up and take a look at it and say, what is God trying to say? Maybe that circumstance in your life is God's way of directing you and leading you and redirecting you. And again, I come back to that first or the second one of finding brotherhood to talk to. When you're faced with this, where else is there to go than the people of God? If you're struggling to know what God is trying to say to you, obstacles and circumstances, though, can be God's way of warning to us. When you find yourself facing a wall and God has closed the door, seek His will. Find out what His will is. Talk to people. Pray about it. God leads through obstacles and circumstances. Think about times in your life when your life has taken a turn from what you had envisioned your life to be. Maybe I'm the only one that has them. I don't think so. We all have them. If you haven't had them yet, you probably will sometime in life. But what can we see God's leading and guiding and directing as you face those obstacles and circumstances? Last Sunday I was down at this point when I was putting in my paper. I couldn't help but think about last Sunday I was down at Calvary, preached a bishop qualification message there. And my challenge to the brethren that were in focus, because you see a bishop ordination starts feeling pretty heavy on the front bench because it's not just a whole congregation to spread it among. At least that's the way I felt about it. And I challenged them to be open to God's leading in their lives. And I can't help but think about that. When you start thinking about life, and I'm not, let's lay that part aside. And I just said that for an illustration, that each and every one of you have a choice to lay life wherever God brings you, when he brings you to circumstances, and maybe it feels like a roadblock, you have a choice to press on in your own way or to find God's will and follow it. Seek, when you hit obstacles and that wall, seek if God is trying to speak to me through this time. Seek advice from the brotherhood. I shared that in before. And work through those obstacles. Maybe it's just a time of testing. Maybe it's for your good. And God wants you to go, still walk that way, but he wants you to take you through a time of testing. But maybe it's also to warn you about the which way it's going to lead. Number 6, dreams. And gut instinct. God warns through dreams and gut instinct. And I question whether I should actually share this point, because I don't believe that we actually have, well, let's just put it this way. If I have dreams, I don't like to believe that they're actually going to be something, prediction for the future, okay? And so I want to minimize that part of it. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 2. I thought of these verses, maybe just for a springboard for this point. Matthew chapter 2. I know we aren't at Christmas season, and that's all right. We're going to go here anyhow. But as I thought about God speaking and warning through dreams, I thought about this passage in Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2, verse 12 is the first one I think about. The wise men have come. They met Herod, and God leads them on to see the young child. And Herod said, "When you find the young child, come and tell me so I can come worship him." Well, you know that Herod did not want to come worship Jesus. He wanted to destroy him. And verse 12, "And these wise men, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Was that an audible voice? Was that actually, they were sleeping and it happened? I don't know. I'm not here to question that part of it, but I just want you to think about that. What about verse 13? "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy them." God's talking to Joseph and saying, this is going to happen. And it happened in a dream, warned of God in a dream. There was another one where in there, but I didn't write it down, I guess. That's all right. So as we ponder that, oh yes, Matthew 2, verse 19, there we go. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeareth in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Now, I'm going to try to break this down to my points of what I'm trying to say through this. God gives us minds to think and to process things. I said this point I get, dreams and gut instinct. And maybe you don't like that word. Intuition maybe would be another way of saying it. Minds to think. And we are required, God wants us to use it and to ponder life. And balance it with advice from fellow believers and the truth of the whole scripture that we talked about in the first points. Okay, that's what our minds are here. They're thinking. And oftentimes you find that what you dream about is what you've been thinking about. Believe these wise men. Can I just, and if you disagree, that's fine. And maybe I'm being too whatever about this, but I believe the wise men could have been thinking about, okay, how am I going to be going home? And they're pondering that. And suddenly in the middle of the night, it just comes really clear to them. That man, Herod, wanted to destroy Jesus. We're not going that way. These wise men had minds to think. They're wise men. And they pondered it. And maybe God talked to them directly in a dream, but as they realized what was happening, I believe they followed through and they observed. And Joseph, he's leading. He has this young boy that's God's son. And there at verse 13 it says, God appeared to him in a dream. I don't know if that's different. But as he was pondering that, how to lead, how to guide, maybe the wise men had told him that Herod's seeking to come here too. But I believe God speaks to us through dreams as we use our minds to think. Have you ever woke up in the morning and realized that something is very clear to you? I have. I like doing mechanic work. There's been times when I've been pondering things going to bed. I wake up in the morning with a new resolution of what's going to fix it, and it does. Sometimes it works that way. In our mind, subconscious mind. God can talk into our subconscious mind when we're sleeping and make life clear to you. But let's be sure to balance that with the truth of God's word. And also to balance it with our fellow men as we walk along life's pathway. Well, as we have this mind to think and we reason with things. The warning also comes to us. We are called to use our minds to ponder the end result of where the path we're going. It's a warning to us to ponder, observe life's wrecks along the way. If you do this, if you go this way, why do you expect a different result? Look at history. We say we don't learn from history. But we need to. Well, as we use our minds, I believe God can speak to us, and give us warnings in life through our dreams and through our minds that He gave us to think with. But let's balance it. Let's remember that. The seventh one, God warns us and speaks to us. Through nature. The last one I have, through nature. God warns us about who's in control through nature. We as men can feel pretty in control with life. You farmers could feel pretty in control of life till God keeps sending the rain. Bring a present day illustration for you. Maybe God's sends the rain and putting a later spring just to show you who's in control of the weather. Well, no. But we can feel so much in control. But nature, forces of nature can tell us who's in control. Does God use it to warn men? He sure does. Cam, does it work? That goes around to disaster, and that's when men are open to it. The serious part as I pondered this message is this, and some closing thoughts. As it was, Luke 17:26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it all be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They knew what was right. They heard the preaching. They heard the teaching. They knew what the God required of them at that time, and they still walked right on in their own lust, living for self. The flood came and destroyed them all. And only Noah and his family was safe in that ark. The challenge is to us that I want to leave is, God warns us today, and we're not ignorant people. We know what the warnings are. The challenge to me and to you is, are we going to heed the warning? Or are we just going to walk on, not heeding the warning? Jonah chapter 3, we have the people of Nineveh. The change that happened in that city when the preacher of righteousness, Jonah, walked in there and he told, repent. Change your life because God's going to destroy the city. God's going to destroy the city in 3 days. And what did the people of Nineveh do? They repented in sackcloth and ashes. And God spared them. Genesis chapter 7, verse 1. We read that in our passage there. When it finally came down to it, the preaching was done, the truth was shared, and nobody else came forward. God told Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. They were saved, the rest were destroyed. Because they heeded God's warning. How do I respond to God's warnings? Just a few questions to ponder. How do I respond to God's warnings? Am I willing to make a change when I notice a warning? A change to follow God. Or do I just shrug it off and go on through life and keep going down the same path? What about if your conscience pricks you? You really shouldn't be doing that. You really shouldn't be doing that. Do you just keep going down that path, or do you make a change? That's where the rubber meets the road. God's warning through your conscience. Are you willing to make a change? I'd like to hold out to you this morning. Part of God's love for us today comes to us in the form of warnings. We live in the day of grace. And when He brings warnings into our life, our conscience, our brotherhood, whoever touch in our life, our circumstances that bring us face to face, God warning to us, are we going to listen to it? And I believe it's part of God's love that comes to us in the form of warning, pulling us back to Him. Now the question is, are you and I in faith going to recognize and respond positively to these warnings? Make a change of life. Well, may God bless us as we go from here. May we take these truths, these warnings, and ponder them in our own lives. The warnings of Scripture, the warnings of the brotherhood, and our own conscience as well, and the many others. May God help us. Let's kneel for prayer.